Hello and welcome back. My name is Avi Heller, and together we are studying Masechet Megillah. We are on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Daf 13a, and we are right in the middle of the page. We're going to count up from the bottom. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22. 22 lines up from the bottom, right at the beginning of the line. We are continuing to darshin the words of the Megillah. The Gemara is basically going verse by verse through Megillat Esther and choosing most words, not every word, but most of the words to give rabbinic interpretations to. Now, right now we're talking about Esther. And at the end of our last recording, we talked about Esther's appearance, if she was beautiful, if she was not beautiful, but she had charisma. And now we are continuing on with her lineage. The next thing that the Megillah teaches us about Esther is Ki Ein La Avaim. She had no father and mother. She was an orphan girl. And then in the next verse it says, Uvimot Aviha V'ima, when her father and her mother died. So the Gemara is bothered by the fact that it needs to repeat both of those things. In Pshat, I think it's fair enough to explain that, you know, it first tells us that she was an orphan, and then later on it tells us when she became an orphan. But the Gemara thinks there must be something that it's coming to teach, and so it asks the question, Lamali, why do I need to refer to her to the fact that she's an orphan twice? Amar Rav Acha said, Ibarta mate aviha, when right after her mother became pregnant, her father died. Yalata, when she was born, meta imar, and her mother died in childbirth. So she never had a father or a mother while she was alive. By the time she was born, she was an orphan at the time she was born. And then it says, Uvamota vihavima, when her father and her mother died, Likacha Mordechai lo levat. Mordechai took her for a daughter. Tana Mishum Rabbi Meir, we have a teaching in the name of Rabbi Meir who says, Al tikri levat, don't say he took her for her daughter, Ella levait, rather for a house. Now this is one of the most curious explanations, rabbinic explanations of the whole Megillah. He says, don't say that he took her for a daughter, say that he took her for a wife. And this is one of the main sources for the idea that Mordechai and Esther were actually married. Now I'm not 100% sure why the rabbis were so particular about having Mordechai and Esther be married when the text seems to indicate that it was a more avuncular relationship where Mordechai was taking care of her the way an older uncle would take care of his niece, and that it was platonic. Some suggest that, I think the Gra suggests that it's based on the word lekacha, because when it says that he took her for a daughter, the word taking, vayikach, usually means to get married in the Torah. When it says, for instance, when Moshe's parents get married, it uses the word vayikach. When it talks about getting married in Devarim, it uses the word vayikach. So to take is often a language of marriage. So perhaps that language is the one that puts him off. Or maybe perhaps they just thought it was unseemly, the idea that an older man had a younger orphan that he was raising, and that if that wouldn't have happened, that she would have been raised by women unless it was a marriage relationship. Or maybe they didn't think the age difference between them was enough. I'm really not sure. But in any case, the suggestion here, and we'll see it again a little bit later on in the Agadata, is that they were married. And this presents, I think, a much more challenging problem, because if she's his niece, then it's one thing for Ahasuerus to come take her and marry her and be intimate with her. But if it's his wife, that presents a whole new set of challenges for Mordechai about acceding to that request. V'cheinu Omer, the proof that he took her as a daughter based on this idea of bat and bayit, daughter and house, is from a verse in Shmuel Bet chapter 12, and it is a parable that Natan HaNavi gives to David after King David has sent away the husband of Bathsheba, Uriah the Hittite, Uriah HaChiti, to die in battle, and then he marries her. Natan wants to explain to David that he has committed a sin, and he gives him a parable of a rich man and a poor man. And the poor man, it says, Vila Rash, I'm quoting from the verse now, in the Gemara, Vila Rash, Ein Kol, the poor man had nothing, Ki in Kivsa Achat Kitana, except one small lamb. Asher Kana, that he had bought. V'yichya utgadel imo, and it lived, and he raised it with him. V'im banav yachdav, and with his children altogether. Mipito tochel, it ate from his plate, from his pita. Umikoso tishte, and from his cup it would drink. Uvecheko tishkav, and it went to sleep cuddled up with him in his bosom. Vatehi lo kivat, and it was to him like a daughter. So the image here is that this poor man had a small, had a pet that he treated almost as if it was his daughter. Now the analogy here, however, is to David, who is the rich man, and Uriah, who was the poor man, and Uriah's most precious possession was Bathsheba, and David basically took it away from him. So in this scenario, the lamb is actually a woman that David marries, and that's how the bat becomes imagined to be a wife situation. Well, the Gemara asks, Mishum debecheko tishkav havat le lebat, because it was in his, he would sleep with it in his bosom, and that's what made it his daughter. El lebayit, rather the usage say he took it for a wife. Which in the context of the analogy is quite a bit more disturbing. But it says, Hachinami here, also, he didn't take her for a daughter, he took her for a house. There is a Talmudic tradition to say, Ishti Beiti, that my wife is my house, that she is the pillar of my home. In any case, this teaching says that when Mordechai took her, he took her in as his wife, not as his daughter. Okay, now afterwards, Ahasuerus collects the maidens, and she's taken to the palace to get ready for her interview with Ahasuerus. So the next verse that is mentioned is Ve'et Sheva Hane'arot V'Gomer. That little abbreviation at the end of the line, Vav Gimel Vav, where it says V'Gomer, means etc. in Hebrew. So Ve'et Sheva Hane'arot, she had seven maidens that waited on her, and then it means to say also take a look at the rest of the verse, and we can take a look at the rest of the verse here. Ve'et sheva ha'ne'arot haru'uyot la, that she had seven maidservants that were appropriate to her. So and then it says that the head of the it's not a jail, the harem. So let's start with the maidens. So she had seven maidens. Amar Rava. Rava said Shahaita Mona Bahen Yemei Shabbat. The reason it says that she had seven is that she used them to count the days of the week. She didn't know exactly when Shabbos was, or she didn't want to make it too obvious that she was keeping Shabbos. So she had her maidens. Each one had their own name, and when the seventh maiden came around every week, she knew that that was Shabbos, and she I guess had some kind of system worked out for that maiden that she didn't have to do melacha on Shabbos. She would have the maiden do it for her. That's what it seems like. Okay, the next line says, "Vayishaneha ve'et na'aroteha v'gomer." And the head of the harem, whose name was Haggai, he changed for her and her maidens. He changed their situation. So what does it mean that he changed it for them? Amar Rav, says Rav, Shehachila ma'achal Yehudi. Rav says, Haggai was careful to get her Jewish food, or I assume this means kosher food. In other words, he went out of his way to make a special request for her to get her kosher food. This is a little challenging only because apparently Esther was supposed to have hidden her identity and where she came from and what her background was. And if Haggai knew, that was a terrible risk. But possibly he didn't know what the kosher food or Jewish food was, or he just thought it was a special request. It's unclear. Shmuel says it in another way. He says the opposite. She'achila kadali da chaziri. Now, the simple reading of this, the way Rashi and Tosfot read it, is that he gave her pig fat to eat. Now, it could be that he was trying to be mean to her, that he knew that she ate kosher and he was giving her chazer treif. Or it could be that he was trying to be nice to her, that he felt pig fat would give her skin a healthy glow and would, you know, put, you know, flesh on her bones, make her look nice and fat. So that's also unclear. Also, the Aruch on the side has an alternate reading, which is that it's Kadali de Chizri, which means heads of lettuce, not pig fat. And as far as the pig fat itself, Rashi says that she ate the pig fat because she had no choice, and because it was an ones, she didn't suffer any punishment for it. And Toso says, of course, even though he served her pig fat, she, of course, did not eat it. She passed over it. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the third opinion is Rabbi Yochanan, he says, Zeronim, that he made sure to give her lots of vegetables. So in other words, she couldn't really eat the food in the palace, so she went on a vegetarian diet. She did the best she could, she just ate the vegetables. V'chein hu omer, and it also says this, we have a similar situation in another place in Tanakh. This is the beginning of Daniel, when Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are collected into the king's palace. They refuse to eat the king's food, and he sees that they are becoming weak and upset, and he asks them what's wrong, and they say they can't eat the king's food, so he gives them other special food. Vayihia Meltzar, and so the waiter, the one who was in charge of provisions, Noseet Pad Bagam, he took away the, he was the one who brought their bread. He took away the bread of the king, v'notein lahem zeronim, and he gave them instead vegetables. So they also ate a vegetarian diet when they were in the king's house. And as Rashi points out, the vegetarian diet was pretty healthy for them. They prospered under that vegetarian diet. So it's possible that Esther only ate vegetables while she was, or I don't know where she got all her protein from, but she was careful not to eat the meat and prepared foods in the king's palace. Okay, the next verse says that the way the women would prepare for their audience with Ahasuerus is they would spend a year getting ready, making sure that they were beautiful. So it says, Shisha chodeshim b'shemen hamor, that she spent 6 months in this oil of myrrh. My shemen hamor, asked the Gemara, what is shemen hamor? Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar, stacht. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says it was a certain kind of fragrant spice called stacht, S-T-A-C-T-E, which is one of the ingredients in the incense in the Beit HaMikdash. And it's some kind of fragrant resin or spice. Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says, Shemen Zayit, that it was olive oil. Shalohe Vishalish, that had not yet brought forth a third of its produce. So it was a very fine olive oil. Tanya, we learn in a Braita, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, An Pakinon, Shemen Zayit Shalohe Vishalish. He explains that what Rav Huna is saying is there was a certain kind of oil, a certain category of oil called An Pakinon. And this was the oil of the first third of the olive. V'lama sachinoto, and why do you use this kind of olive oil, this anpakinon or stacht? She meshira taseyar, it is a depilatory, it takes off the hair. Umadena tabasar, and it makes the flesh look healthy. So this was a way of them being attractive to the king. Now when they went to the king, it says that in the evening they would go have their audience with the king, and he would wine and dine and have relations with them. And then in the morning they would return to the second harem, the harem of the used materials, to shashgar. So it's ba'erev hi ba'a, in the evening she would come. Uva boker hi shava, and in the morning she would return. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Mignuto shel oto rasha," from the way in which the text castigates this wicked man, and the castigation is that he is every night sleeping with a different virgin in his kingdom, and then once they've slept with the king, they can't get married or do anything else with anyone else. So he is basically selfishly taking all the young women of the kingdom for himself. Lamadnu shibcho. We also learn, though, that you can look on the bright side. You can see that there's some shevach to be learned from him. Shelohaya mishamish mitato bayom, that he did not have intimate relations with the girls in the daytime. At least he had enough, they say, dignity that he only made love to them at night when it was dark. I don't know why Rabbi Yochanan wants to find any goodness in Ahasuerus or why he chooses this, but it's what he says, that you can always see, even in someone's wicked nature, you can sometimes see that they are doing something that's good. Vatihi Esther Nosit Chein, and Esther, it said, this is the next verse in the Megillah, Vatihi Esther Nosit Chein, and Esther found favor. Everyone who saw her loved Esther. This is a way in which she's similar to Yosef, that everyone who met them was impressed with them. Amar Rebbe Lazar, that is the abbreviation there. We are now 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Three words in from the line. Amar Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says, Milame, this teaches, Shelakol echad ve'echad nidmeta lo ki'umato. Everyone who saw her thought she came from their country. We mentioned this a couple dapim ago, that she had a certain kind of charm or charisma where whenever you saw her, you thought she looked like a girl from your hometown, and that made you like her. Okay, the next verse that is mentioned is that Ahasuerus likes Esther from all the other women. Vatilakach Esther ela. I'm sorry, not yet. We didn't get to that yet. Here, Vatilakach Esther. Esther was taken ela Melech Ahasuerus to the king Ahasuerus el Beit Malchuto to his palace. Bachodesh Hasiri in the 10th month, Hu Chodesh Tevet, which is the month of Tevet. It happens to be that I'm recording this on the second day of the month of Tevet, so it's happening right at this time. And the Gemara says, Yerach, this is a month, Shene Neguf Minaguf, that bodies like to enjoy other bodies. In other words, it's a cold month. It's when the weather gets really cold, and you want to be with someone else. You want to have someone to share your bed with. So this is why, in a way, it was stacked in Esther's favor that the king especially felt like he wanted to have companionship in the 10th month, which is when Esther's turn came up. Okay, the next verse is, Vayehava melech et Esther mikol hanashim. The king loved Esther from all the other women. Vatisachein vachesed lefanav. And she aroused favor and kindness before him. Mikol habetulo, more than all of the other virgins that had come to him. And as we saw earlier, everyone who saw Esther liked her. So the king is no different, and he really loved her. Amar Rav. Rav explains what it is that the king liked about her, and he says that it was primarily a sexual thing that he liked about her. Bikesh litom tam bitula. If he wanted to taste the taste of a virgin, that is a woman who's very inexperienced in the ways of men, ta'am ta'am, he tasted it. Ta'am bu'ula, if he wanted to have an experience with a woman who was much more experienced in the ways of men, ta'am, then he could have that taste as well. She was able to seem like a different kind of women, both ingenue and experienced, and in any way that whatever it is that he wanted, she was able to make him feel that way. Vayas HaMelech Mishte Gadol. So after the king loves Esther and makes her his queen, he makes a big party for Esther. So the Gemara understands that what Ahasuerus wanted more than anything else, he loved Esther and he loved being with her. In particular, the rabbis are saying that he had a sexual relationship with her, not an emotional relationship, but he wanted to know where she was from. He wanted to know what her background was. So it says, Avad Mishtaya, he made her a party, Velo Galyale, and she did not reveal her background to him. Meaning he made this whole party, and during the party, he kept trying to get it out of her, where she from. So then Dali Karga, so he then released some taxes and tariffs. This is a head tax, the Karga, in her name as a gesture of favor to her. Velo Galyale, but she still wouldn't tell him, even though he did her this nice favor of reducing taxes, she still wouldn't reveal her background to him. Shadar Pardishne, he sent gifts to the nobles and governors of all the different provinces in her name, Velo Galyale, and she still wouldn't reveal it to him. So everything he was trying to do, he couldn't seem to get his bride to cooperate by telling her where she was originally from. Then the Megillah says something which has always been a very strange and troubling section to me, which is that after she becomes queen and everything settles down, then Ahasuerus goes and gathers virgins a second time. He goes and gathers more women to be with, even though he's already found Esther as his queen. It's very curious why he does this. There could be a lot of reasons. Maybe he liked having a different woman every night. Maybe he was so selfish that he didn't care. And obviously he didn't care that much about Esther, or he felt like he certainly didn't need to be limited by her. But the Gemara gives a different explanation. He says, because right after it says that he gathered virgins for the second time, it says that Mordechai Yoshev Bishar HaMelech, that Mordechai was sitting at that time near the king's court. So the Gemara says, Azil Shakal Etzami Mordechai, King Ahasuerus went and took advice from Mordechai, Amar. And Mordechai said to him, Ein Isha Mitkana Ela Biyara Chaverta. The only way to really make a woman jealous, and so that she'll do what you want her to, she'll be pliable in your hands, is beyera chaverta, with her jealousy of other women's sexuality. So that's why he gathered other women, was that he was hoping to make Esther jealous, and then he would have leverage over her to get her to tell her where she came from. Va'afilu hachi, and nonetheless, lo galyale, she did not reveal to him where she came from. Dichtiv, as it is written in the Megillah, ein Esther mageret moladta v'yatama. Vigomer, etc. Right? Esther did not tell where her birthplace or where she came from. Now, it's curious why Mordechai would give such advice to Ahasuerus. After all, he was part of the conspiracy to not to have to tell Esther not to tell Ahasuerus where she came from. So it could be that the advice itself was self-serving, that he knew that Esther would not tell anyway, and he was just trying to keep Ahasuerus busy in some other ways. Or perhaps he was really hoping that Ahasuerus would find a queen that he liked better. I don't know what would happen to Esther then, but perhaps Mordechai didn't want him to be focused so much on Esther, because after all, she was, according to the rabbis, his wife. And so, and no matter how you look at it, someone he cared for very deeply, and probably did not really relish the idea of being the wife of this evil monarch. But in any case, he gives him this advice to gather up the other virgins, and it doesn't work. So Ahasuerus, no matter what he does, is unable to get his queen to tell him where she comes from. We're going to stop there on the bottom line of Yigimel Amud Aleph, and we'll continue in our next recording.